In the wake of the 9/11 attacks, Americans grappled with questions over national unity and America's place in the world. Now, 25 years later, they're asking those same questions. While polls show that Americans still largely want their country to take an active role in the world, what role that might be is a point of debate. Our reporters spoke to 7 people around the nation to learn more. Find more news at csmonitor.com, including Ned Temko's latest patterns column, which looks at how the regional election victory of the far-right Alternative for Germany could have implications for the war in Ukraine. It's Friday, September 11th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning, I'm Mackenzie Farkas. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. The U.S. Supreme Court again blocked Missouri from using a recently redrawn congressional map in the midterms. The unsigned order Thursday bars Missouri from using a congressional map this November that was redrawn last year to give Republicans an advantage. The order, which featured no noted dissents, paused a federal judge's ruling requiring Missouri to use the new map. The Supreme Court's intervention came 2 days after Justice Brett Kavanaugh had declined to block a Missouri Supreme Court decision requiring the state to use a 2022 map for the upcoming election. Canada and Ukraine signed an agreement Thursday to build millions of drones. The 100-year partnership spans defense, trade, and energy agreements. Prime Minister Mark Carney said the war was at a turning point thanks to drones, which are relatively cheap to produce and can reach deep into Russian territory. Canada itself is at its own turning point as it tries to chart a course of economic independence from the United States. Canadians understand in our bones the importance of your struggle, Mr. Carney said in Calgary during a visit by Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. Also, Colombia loosened its gun control laws. President Abelardo de la Espriella, who campaigned on an iron fist crackdown on crime and violence, signed a decree this week easing restrictions on who can carry legal firearms in public. Under the previous law, which was in effect for more than a decade, even people with permits couldn't take their firearms out of their homes without additional authorization. The change could affect some 700,000 Colombians, according to the Spanish newspaper El País. Critics fear this will make it easier for guns to fall into criminal hands. Colombia has seized more than 15,000 firearms so far in 2026, according to the BBC. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. 25 years after the September 11th terrorist attacks, Americans still see their country as an important player on the world stage. But their views on how the U.S. should engage globally have been shifting, driven in part by partisan politics. Caitlin Babcock, Patrick Johnson, Cindy Carcamo, and Victoria Hoffman report from Washington, Hinesville, Georgia, Boston, and Santa Ana, California for The Monitor. Yemen could again be sliding toward all-out conflict, as the Iran-backed Houthis have attacked Saudi oil facilities and international shipping lanes in the Red Sea. Dominique Sogel reports from Basel, Switzerland, for The Monitor. With midterm elections for control of Congress drawing closer, a challenge for Republicans is Donald Trump's deep slump in public approval. This week in Dallas, the president has been trying to turn that liability around on live TV. Simon Montlake reports for The Monitor. Trying to stop Iran developing nuclear weapons was one of the key aims of the U.S.-Israel war in the Middle East. But now there are growing signs the Trump administration may have given up on an agreement with Tehran. Howard LaFranchi reports from Washington for The Monitor. Photographer Melanie Stetson Freeman remembers one of her hardest shoots in New York City during the 10 days following 9/11, and the light she found there. Melanie wrote an essay for the Monitor. Check it out, along with her accompanying photos, at csmonitor.com/daily. Now, commentary from the Monitor's editorial board on choosing light from the dark hours of 9/11. Everyone has a story. And as longtime Monitor staff photographer Melanie Stetson Freeman shares in her photo essay, everyone of a certain age has a story from 9/11. For a quarter of a century, those stories and memories have offered inspiring lessons on individual courage and civic unity, as well as hard ones about international and national politics. They've nurtured hope and trust in humanity's remarkable resilience, the ability to recover and rebuild from loss and grief. But they've also sown seeds of fear and distrust in others and in the future. As it does each year, the anniversary of 9/11 confronts Americans with subtle and challenging choices. What values to hold on to? What dark memories to let go of? How best to move forward? Friday marks 25 years since that clear blue day in 2001 when terrorists hijacked four airplanes that crashed into the World Trade Center in New York City, the Pentagon near Washington, and a deserted field in Pennsylvania. Nearly 3,000 innocent people lost their lives that day. Another 9,000 have died in the years since, while tens of thousands of others contend with mental and physical health issues linked to the attacks. The immediate and long-term impacts of that event have indelibly shaped the United States of today, its policies and politics, its economic and geopolitical relations, even daily life and interactions in communities, schools, and workplaces. Some who lost family and friends have come to realize the reassurance that President Joe Biden held out in September 2021. That one day, the memory of your beloved brings a smile to your lips, even while still bringing a tear to your eye. Others who survived the attacks took a hard look at themselves and radically changed their lives after 9/11, as the Washington Post's Optimist feature observed this week. It described a group of friends who made it out of the World Trade Center that day, leaving their careers in finance for lives of public service, to work in local government, at literacy nonprofits, and for the Red Cross. For a few, such as the Monitor's Mideast correspondent Taylor Luck, the event sparked an intense interest in the region to, as he tells it, understand, to hear people tell their own stories, to listen to different views, to challenge my assumptions. And for many thousands, the event was a rallying call to patriotism, to protect American ideals of freedom and democracy. They volunteered for the military, serving tours of duty in Afghanistan and Iraq. Those battles abroad have been mirrored in increasingly bitter political and cultural disputes at home, with an increase in religion and race-based rhetoric and violence. In the view of one American, who was 10 when his father died on 9/11, it might be time to assert a patriotism born not of military might or political rhetoric, but of radical, neighborly empathy. In the New York Times this week, Charlie Green recalled the unprompted pride of being an American that he felt when neighbors spontaneously formed a candlelight vigil outside his family's home, showing up to create and carry light. Today, as a father, now able to smile at the memory of his own dad, Mr. Green urges recommitting to the steady, everyday work of citizenship, greeting our neighbors, bridging our divides, and choosing unity before tragedy forces our hand. The heroes of that day showed us how to respond in our darkest hour, as he notes. Our task now is to prove that we remember how to live together in the light. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how setting our sights on God's allness blesses us and others. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Lana Gustafson and Ian Case.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, United States of America. Copyright 2026.